This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Jacobs Music Company is the proud sponsor of Between the Keys with Jed Distler. Information on any of the products or services that Jacobs Music offers is available on their website, www.jacobsmusic.com. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and welcome to Between the Keys. The title of this week's episode is Unsung Legends, and in this case, I'm talking about pianists who may not all be that well known to the general public, yet they are all absolutely world-class artists who have had remarkable and interesting careers. In fact, in the past, we have built entire episodes around such pianists. We once devoted a program to Bruce Hungerford, and we had another one devoted to Sidney Foster. But on this episode, we will hear 8 pianists who I think plausibly fit into the unsung legends category. And believe me, there are many, many, many more unsung legends than those that you will be hearing from in this next hour. So don't accuse me of leaving out anybody. We'll get to them in due course. But first, let's hear the Portuguese pianist Sequeira Costa. He is still very much with us, and he may be the only living pianist today to have studied with a Liszt pupil. He studied with José Viana da Mota, who I think was the last surviving Liszt pupil himself. So let's begin with a joyous and even boisterous piece from the Iberia Suite by Albéniz called El Puerto, and this is with pianist Sequeira Costa. Thank you. Music of Albéniz from his Iberia suite. We heard the second piece, a piece called El Puerto, and the pianist was Siqueira Costa. Another pianist who I think is also an unsung legend, so to speak, is Frederick Marvin, who lived until 96. He passed away only just last year. He was highly active as a concert pianist, as a musicologist, and as a teacher over the course of a very long career. He played a major role in reviving the interest in the music of the Czech composer Jan Ladislav Dušek, who was considered to be the first truly important touring piano virtuoso. Let's hear the finale from Dušek's two-movement piano sonata in F-sharp minor, subtitled Elegie Harmonique, Frederick Marvin.
Thank you.
pianist Frederick Morvan playing music by Jan Ladislav Dušek. That was the finale from Dušek's two-movement piano sonata in F-sharp minor, subtitled Elegie Harmonique. The pianist Yara Burnett lived from 1920 until 2002. She was born in Boston, but she was raised in Brazil. And in fact, she made her European debut with the Brazilian composer Villa-Lobos conducting. And she taught for many years in Hamburg. And she made only one commercial recording for the Deutsche Grammophon label in 1969, featuring Rachmaninoff's Opus 23 and Opus 32 Preludes. And it got great reviews when it was released on vinyl, yet it didn't remain in print for too long. And only recently it became reissued on CD. So we're going to hear a prelude that is not so often performed on an individual basis. Yet I think this performance shows how Yara Burnett responds to both Rachmaninoff's volatile and tender sides. This is the prelude in E minor, Opus 32, number 4, Yara Burnett at the piano.
Thank you.
The Prelude in E minor, opus 32, number 4, by Sergei Rachmaninoff, performed by Yara Burnett from her only recording that appeared on the Deutsche Grammophon label, and it's now available on CD through Australian Eloquence, and they have reissued many hard-to-find piano recordings from the Deutsche Grammophon, Decca, and Philips back catalogs. New Yorkers of a certain generation, I think, have a special connection with Nadia Reisenberg, who lived from 1904 until 1983. She constantly performed and taught throughout her long, long life, and she also was a frequent juror for the prestigious Leventritt competition. She studied with Joseph Hoffman at the Curtis Institute of Music, and she most famously undertook a cycle where she played all of the Mozart concertos in a concert series that was broadcast on the radio in 1939 and 1940. I wonder if those broadcasts still exist somewhere. But most of the solo recordings that Nadia Reisenberg made took place in the 1950s for the Westminster label, and a lot of them have been reissued, including these preludes by Kabalevsky, opus 38. We're going to hear Nadia Reisenberg play 4 Kabalevsky preludes now.
Thank you.
music of Dmitri Kabalevsky from his Preludes, Opus 38. We heard numbers 18, 19, 20, and 21. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and you are listening to Between the Keys. This hour, we are exploring unsung legends who are pianists that may not be household names, yet they've made important contributions to the piano world and have left behind marvelous recordings. Something a little bit different now. This is a pianist who probably more people have heard yet have never seen. His name is Ray Turner. He lived from 1903 until 1976. He was one of the top pianists who worked in the Hollywood studios, who covered, whenever somebody would be playing on the screen who wasn't a pianist, it would be his playing in the background. And he had the reputation for being able to perform any kind of music in any style, and he could sight read anything. And Ray Turner was featured in hundreds and hundreds of movies and on countless television shows. And as you're going to hear now, he had this tremendous technique and really effortless facility. This is a rather flashy arrangement of the Johnny Green standard Body and Soul. The great Johnny Green standard song, Body and Soul, arranged for piano by Floyd Morgan and dazzlingly performed by one of the most heard of yet least seen pianists in the history of film and television, a gentleman named Ray Turner. And that comes from a release on the Shellwood label featuring rare solo recordings of Ray Turner. I doubt this disc is available anymore. And do you know that Ray Turner even recorded a Chopin album in the late 40s or early 50s? I'm going to have to share that with you sometime because technically it's really, really quite remarkable piano playing. Now, for some reason, the Cypriot pianist Martino Tirimo seems to be relatively unknown in the United States. But by contrast, he's gotten great acclaim in England, where he's made numerous recordings. I reviewed Tirimo's Debussy cycle for ClassicsToday.com, and I think I want to quote myself from this review because it's really pretty good. I wrote that his Debussy cycle remains a serious and arguably underappreciated contender. For starters, Tirimo's warm, beautifully nuanced sonority and the alluring resonance of the Roslyn Hill Chapel in Hampstead mesh in a way that evokes the composer's quote-unquote piano without hammers ideal. Without sacrificing rhythmic backbone, Tirimo's strong rhythm and care with scaling dynamics factors into this impression. I think it's a pretty good review. So why don't we hear a Debussy piece that doesn't often turn up in concert, and I don't know why, because it's really beautiful and very subtle. This is D'un cahier de esquisse, which means from a sketchbook. Martino Tirimo playing Debussy. Thank you. Music of Debussy, d'un cahier d'esquisse, that means from a sketchbook. The pianist was Martino Tirimo, and that comes from his complete cycle of Debussy's piano music, originally issued by Collins Classics and currently available, I believe, on the Alto label. Last year, I wrote the annotations for a box set containing the Russian-born pianist Anya Dorfman's complete recordings for RCA Victor. I should tell you a little bit about her. Anya Dorfman came to the United States in the late 1930s, and her playing attracted the attention of Arturo Toscanini, who invited her to perform Beethoven's Choral Fantasy and the First Piano Concerto with his NBC Symphony Orchestra. Anya Dorfman made her last recordings in 1958, and she gradually settled into teaching when her arthritis made it difficult for her to perform. And apparently she really missed performing. When I wrote these notes, I interviewed one of Dorfman's students, the composer and pianist Alexander Peskunov, and he told me that whenever he played for her, that Anya Dorfman would start playing along with him at the same time on another piano, but she would not play by herself to demonstrate something to her students. So at one lesson, Alexander was working on Chopin's third ballade, and as always, Anya Dorfman started to play along on the other piano. He wanted to hear how she phrased certain things in the piece, so what he did was he gradually got quieter and quieter, but he still moved his hands, but without making a sound. And in the meantime, his teacher was still playing and really getting into it, and she was playing all by herself. And then all of a sudden, she stopped and she turned around to Alexander and she said, "Darling, you play that so beautifully." I think that's such a wonderful story. Why don't we hear Anya Dorfman now in a piece that Giancarlo Menotti composed especially for her? It's the Ricercare and Toccata on a theme from The Old Maid and the Thief. Thank you. music by Giancarlo Menotti, the Ricercare and Toccata on a theme from The Old Maid and the Thief, with Anja Dorfman at the piano. That was a composition written especially for Anja Dorfman, by the way. Henri Barda is a French pianist who teaches at the Paris Conservatory. He was born in Cairo, where he studied with another unsung piano legend, the Polish pianist Ignaz Tigerman. And Barda worked closely with the choreographer Jerome Robbins in the 1970s on his ballets set to Chopin's music. We're going to hear several Brahms capriccios from the Opus 76 group, recorded live in Tokyo in 2008. First the B minor and then the F sharp minor capriccios from Brahms Opus 76, pianist Henri Barda. Thank you. Pianist Henri Barda, live in Tokyo in 2008, performing two capriccios by Brahms from his Opus 76, one in B minor and the other in F sharp minor. The last in this episode's group of unsung piano legends is the Romanian pianist Mindru Katz, who settled in Israel in 1959, and he was based there until his death in 1978. He actually died on stage while performing Beethoven's Tempest Sonata, believe it or not. Mindru Katz left behind a fair number of recordings and live performances that reveal a virtuoso technique that is always in service of the music, no matter how flamboyant the composition might be, such as in this recording of the Cacciatorian Toccata, pianist Mindru Katz.
Thank you.
We just heard the Toccata by Khachaturian, performed by Mindru Katz. And with that, we bring this program of unsung piano legends to a close. And yes, I do know that there are so many more unsung, underrated, and undervalued pianists that deserve attention, but that is for another time and another program, and I promise that to you. This is Jed Distler, Artist in Residence for the Classical Network, and I look forward to us being together at this time next week for Between the Keys. This show is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org.